ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Canto 11, chapter number 2, and text number 27. Kaan Rojamanam Svarucha Brahmaputra Upaman Nava Prapaccha Paramapritaha
Paramapritaha
Prashraya Pavanataha Upaha Tan Rojamanan Swarucha Brahmaputro Pamanavaha Prapaccha Paramapritaha Brahmaputra Upaman. Just like the sons of Brahma.
Just like the sons of Brahma.
Nava.
Nine.
Prapaccha.
Prapaccha.
He asked. Paramapritaha.
Paramapritaha.
Transcendentally overjoyed. Prashraya.
Prashraya.
Humility. Avarataha.
Avarataha.
Translation and perfect by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Overwhelmed by transcendental joy, the king humbly bowed his head and then proceeded to question the nine sages. These nine great souls glowed with their own effulgence and thus appeared equal to the four Kumaras, the sons of Lord Brahma. Srila Sridhar Swami has pointed out that the word Swarucha indicates that the Navayogendras glowed from their own spiritual effulgence and not due to their ornaments or any other cause. The Supreme Soul, Lord Sri Krishna, is the original source of all light. His brilliantly glowing body is the source of all pervading Brahma-jyoti, the immeasurable spiritual light that is the resting place of the innumerable universes. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti. The individual soul, being part and parcel of the Lord, is also self-effulgent. In fact, everything in the kingdom of God is self-effulgent. As described in Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, 6th verse, Natadvasayate suryo na shashanko na pavakaha yat kartvana nivartante tadhamam paramam mama. It has already been described in many ways that the Navayogendras were pure devotees of the Lord. Being completely Krishna conscious souls, they naturally radiated the intense effulgence of the soul as indicated here by the word Swarucha. Srila Sridhar Swami has also pointed out that the word Brahmaputra Upamana, meaning equal to the sons of Brahma, indicates that Navayogendras were on the same spiritual platform as the four exalted Kumar brothers. It has been described in the fourth canto that Maharaj Pruthu received the four Kumaras with great love and reverence. And here King Nimi is similarly receiving the nine sons of Lord Rishabdev. Receiving exalted Vaishnava with love and reverence is a standard spiritual etiquette for those who desire progress and happiness in life. Om Ajnana Kiniranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manomisham Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Guru Padamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sarvanaragunatham Tam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sarvana Lalita Sri Krishna Hantam Sri Krishna Karna Sindhu Dhinavanda Jagatpade Overwhelmed by the transcendental joy, the king humbly bowed his head and then proceeded to question the nine sages. These nine great souls glowed with their own effulgence and thus appeared equal to the four Kumaras, the sons of Lord Brahma. So, we get the commentary from Sridhar Swami, the most authorized Vaishnava saint, preceded to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His commentary is very standard, and the whole Vaishnava family, either from the four sects, they follow Sridhar Swami's commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam with the standard. Nobody can change, deviate, or dare do anything. No mess around. So we see his explanation is of Swaro Chasha. Rochan is the effulgence. Swar means individual person. How is it that entity who is very insignificant part and parcel of the Lord, and he is so much dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he can develop his own effulgence and he become brilliant? How is it? This explanation is given by quoting of Brahma Sangita, Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagadanda Koti Koti Shvashesha Vasudhati Vibhuti Vinnam tad brahma nishkalam ananta shesha bhutam govindam adi purusham tamah bhajami. Actually, when Krishna says that aham sarvasya prabhavo, prabha means manifestations at the same time effulgence. The one that is emanating from, everything emanates from the Supreme Personality of God. So, we see that the original source of effulgence means all the energies are emanating from Him. All the energies. So, Brahma Nishkalam Ashesha Bhutam. Nishkalam means it is the solely responsible factor. That is Brahma Jyoti, which is emanating from the Supreme Personality of God. It is so bright, brilliant, and it is also called the sum total of all the energies that are manifest. It is in the Brahma. So any energetic principle, whether it's a jiva or the material energy or the spiritual energy, they are all coming. It is not impersonal because there is personality behind it. It is always in connection with it. So the Brahman effulgence that even the impersonalist target as the supreme thing or object, yet alone it cannot exist on its own. It exists on the support of the Supreme Personality of God. In other words, the Brahman effulgence is the effulgence of the body of the Supreme Personality of God. So whoever is in connection with Him receives the same effulgence of the same quality. Just to bring out this effulgence or the spiritual energy, manifestation of this energy, a person may go through all the purificatory process just to let the Brahman effulgence be glowing. Because the matter itself, which is product of the Brahman effulgence, is so dead and obstructing that somehow or other it has to be purified. At such an extent of austerity, severe penances. Austerity includes severe penances. So, how do people clarify even butter? How do people isolate the metallic particle from the ore or earth, which is a mixture of everything? It is always filtration process. And more filtration process is there, more rugged process is being taken. You grind it so fine that nothing will be wasted. If you do a course, you know, then the proportion of the metal to be removed will be very less. So even though heart is a rock where all this gold, silver, metals are embedded in, it has to be first ground into very extremely thin powder. So a devotee is also in the fire of devotional service, grinds himself very, very fine, very fine. The laws of material nature, they also grind us and our activities very, very fine. Very, very fine. If we do not want to understand competitively with the workings of the nature, then we will never be able to come out successful. So, those processes were meritorious only according to the length of the lifespan and they were recommended. So, do you think we have to take this chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra so lightly? Or we have to grind it very fine just to make a pure sound of the holy name? Can you imagine the system to chant Hare Krishna purely is a very, very refining process. In order to chant only once that pure holy name, we might have to pass ages. Bahujanmayadi kare shravana kirtana tabutana bhai krishna prati premadhana. If somebody received premadhana, what to speak of this external effulgence? He will be absorbed in trance samadhi of all the time. He wouldn't care less anything. Once one has received a little drop of the nectar of love of Krishna, he will act like a madman, absorbed in the transcendental samadhi. So, that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of this, do you think he is obtained through our base modes of passion and ignorance? Even the time itself is a grinding agent, a fine grinder. What they call the jaws of death are very tight and they chew you up. Our misconceptions will be chewed up in time of death. The jaws of time, kala, is really a grinding edge. So Krishna wants us to come to the platform of our Swarupa. When the Swarupa is being exposed, then we will be amazed by our own effulgence that is coming. But this is the effulgence that is reflected from the Supreme Lord in connection with Him. Because He is also called transparent. Transparency means all the effulgences can go without any restriction, can pass through. Transparent by ambiguity. Why is it requiring transparency? So it can filter out all the taints. The tinting is not essential. Tinting should be removed so we can see as it is. Ishopanishad is also telling us, Hiranmayana patrena satyasyapitam mukham. My dear Lord, behind this dazzling effulgence of yours, your real face, which is of the true nature, absolute truth, personification. So if you think I am qualified, please let me see. Show it to me. And we have to request to see that, my dear Lord Krishna, please show us your real form. Arjun tried, right? In Vishwarupa manifestation, Arjun was completely horrified. Arjun has, and his conception was ground very fine by seeing the ghastly nature of Lord's Vishwarupa. It's also brilliant. Ahitya Varna Tamasat Parastat. It is so much effulgent. And whoever wants to be attracted to this effulgence of the Lord, even by dint of knowledge, the four Kumaras went to Vaikuntha Loka just because they have heard from their father, Brahma, that the Lord's poem is so much effulgent. So by the dint of little knowledge that they acquire, they become so much effulgent, the four Kumaras. They thought, okay, let's go and try to see. So they were estimating the effulgence of the Lord, that He will be brilliant like sun, He will be like that. So let's go. Because they are also brilliant. A little brilliance want to measure the brilliance of unlimited. So they go. There is Vaikuntha Loka, but they were obstructed by giant Vijaya. With a little brilliance they could not measure or they could not estimate. Even the presence of Jaya Vijaya, and they were denied the entry. So they became angry. There is no anger in Vaikuntha. But when the impersonal knowledge is challenged, then there will be some kind of angry. Anger will jump in, come out. So they cursed Jaya Vijaya. It's none of their fault. They did not misunderstand. They were devotees. They were doing their duty. But Krishna took the opportunity. And the Lord of Vaikuntha thought, let me go. I will fulfill Kumara's desire, plus I will also I'm going to save my devotees. To show us the brilliance, the experience that Kumaras saw or they felt is completely out of their estimation. They saw the Lord is coming, and they're thinking of some brilliance of a sun, but here thousands of suns are, simultaneously arising. The Lord's form was that kind of glowing. Glowing. So, they immediately felt, this is out of our estimation. Because impersonal measurement cannot measure the personality aspect. They cannot understand that how brilliant the Lord's form would be. So if the Kumaras can be baffled in their approach, what to speak of us? We are totally born in the darkness of ignorance. But rest assured, the all-victorious holy name is self-effulgent. It's self-effulgent. And this holy name has been invested with all the potencies of the Supreme Personality of God. Nam nama gari bhavadam is sarva-shaktis. So, Shakti means effulgence, so the energies. And some total of all the energies come from that Brahma Jyoti. Brahma Jyoti comes from the body of the Lord. Therefore, you will never see a shadow of the Lord. There is no shadow. What is shadow? Absence of that personality. Even though Brahma Jyoti will be spreading and the material planetary system will be floating in Brahma Jyoti, yet the dead matter will not allow us to reach to the effulgence. We will have to grind ourselves very fine, purify our existence, and then we may be able to reflect that effulgence. So, everything of the Lord is brilliant, effulgent. And whoever is a pure devotee, he is also effulgent. He attracts, his personality attracts us so much. If you see Srila Prabhupada's face, it's so brilliant, so much out of the world. You will not find any old man looking, like that. More you meditate on the face of Srila Prabhupada, more you will be want to surrender to him. You will never forget. This is the effulgence, and it is much appreciated. His face is so tranquil, and his expressions are so transcendental. What is this? It is nothing but reflection of the effulgence of Brahmajyoti. Many a times we see that even behind the pictures of or the face, they put Tej Kiran, effulgence. But why Tej Kiran only behind the head and not all over the body? Here we have to put up artificial sunlight, moonlight or electricity to get a reflection on the dead matter so we will be able to see. You cannot see directly light. Only reflected light you can see through the eyes. So, what to speak of? Brahmajyoti, which is self-effulgent. It comes out from the body itself. How is it possible to see? Unless you try to purify yourself, and whatever little effulgence of the shining of Brahmajyoti, because Prabhupada said here, Srila Swami is telling that the Atma is also self-effulgent. The soul is also self-effulgent. Many times we paint and some bulb is put and focus is coming out. No. It is self-effulgent. The soul is self-effulgent because it's part of Brahmajyoti. Brahmajyoti is effulgent. Right? So in this way, when one who is coming out of the bodily conception of life becomes self-effulgent. His body is not obstructing Brahmajyoti. So, a progressive devotee is always looking to that, and is that real personality, spiritual personality, who is very attractive. Because Krishna is all attractive. His entire process is just to attract. The very name Krishna is all attractive. Now, what is attraction? Attraction is the Brahmajyoti. So, here, Srila Swami is putting a lot of emphasis on the reality aspect of this Navayogendras, that by dint of their devotional service, they become self-effulgent. So, anyone would be attracted in nearly knowing this process, the attraction, he immediately paid his respects. And just for the benefit of all of us who are trying to come up, he is asking pertinent questions in order to make us realize, in order to make us understand the reality of our being, which is right now covered or conditioned. It has to be exposed. Without exposing our real identity, we live a life of fake pretends. So compare the blind imitation of our Bollywood and Hollywood style, how far they are and what kind of grinding they will require. They have to be ground finely. So this is a very important point that he is described. Lord Krishna's abode is also called Chintamani. Simply by thinking of the name Krishna or anything pertaining to Krishna, it is self-effulgent, so it pops out. It manifests immediately. The name and the object both manifest simultaneously. That's called Chintamani. Money is very expensive jewel, right? Like sparsha money. If you touch that money, anything that will turn into gold, it's called sparsha money. Paras money. Another is called semantak money. Even without touching it, emanates gold. So it should be very effulgent. Gold also having that luster, which is a reflected luster. But if you take a piece of pure uranium, it also produces harmful effulgences. Right? In physics, these substances are called an activated state of existence. Activated state. Otherwise, the dull metal is called ground state. The one that does not react immediately.
What?
The solids do not react with solids. Solid may react with a fluid which is very agile, high. Even the gas is the final, right? So it reacts solid. Solid means earthly elements. You know, when we become solid, stone hearted, we don't react immediately. Is it? It's called the heart should melt. The only melting element of the heart is love. Unless and until we never love. And the love is self-effulgent. It's not artificially created. Love cannot be made. The most important aspect is that these souls are wandering just to give benefit to the humankind. So this is called paropakara, jivanti sadhava, for the benefit of helping others. That characteristic of the sadhu. So they are going anywhere and everywhere just to help. So Lord's abode is also being described with self-effulgence. That is, natat bhāsayati suryo na shashanko na pāvaka yadgatvā na nivartante tathāmamo paramamo. There is no sunlight, moonlight or electricity needed. Bhāsayati. It's not existing even then. So, do you think it is dark? No, it is self-effulgent. There is no need of artificial or reflected light. So, transparency is there in Chintamani Dham or Goloka Vrindavan Dham. Chintamani Prakarsat Mashu Kalpa Vrikshalaksha Uddeshu. So much varieties of self-refulgence. People say, well, transparent light, it may be brilliant, but their brilliance can be only understood when it is reflected on some object. Right? But light is nonetheless transparent. But in the matter, it is refractions are there. And the refractions makes 9 different colors. Right? The rainbow. How many colors are in rainbow?
Seven.
What are they?
Orange, yellow, green, and indigo, violet.
Smart. But you like the color or you like the transparency? What do you like?
Color.
No, we have to become transparent. Color means even a person who has jaundice, he sees yellow. But that's called sickness. Disease condition. When the soul is self-refulgent, it is transparent. The guru is described to be transparent via medium. You heard that? That is color. Money. Right? Money can be colors. But if you use money in Krishna's service, then it becomes transparent. Lakshmi Devi. Right? So we have to see how things can be converted into transparent connection of Lord Shri Krishna. So, the guru is called via transparent medium. Transparency. Lord Krishna, even though variegated and completely brilliant, yet there are varieties. Yet there are varieties. And he comes in different colors. How many colors is come?
Seven.
No.
All 15 colors.
Gargamuni told that in every millennium he changes his color. You know? There are 4 millennia. So the original color is black. It's black. Why it is black?
Black is dark.
Yeah, black is blue or what is Ghanashyam. Black light, the rainy cloud. So, but this is what we call original color, from the black. It comes in yellow color. Who came in yellow color?
Chaitanya
Mahaprabhu. Gold. You forgot. Then, who came in red color?
Balaram.
Yes. And white. Sosuvara. Right? So these are the 4 colors that Krishna comes. White, black, red, and yellow. No green. No green. Sometimes, Lord Ramchandra is shown in a little greenish tint. Right? But it looks like little yellow is mixed there. So it has little greenish. But anyway, the real transparency means the Lord has to pass through. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj gives the definition of the Guru Tattva, that it is Lord Sri Krishna Chandra Himself, Personality of God, who is the transparent embodiment. He passes through in suitable medium. Who does not obstruct the transparency of Lord Sri Krishna? That is good. Otherwise, there are what the Ritvik calls vanilla guru. Because if this flavor, that flavor, the choice. Some say the guru has this personality, that personality, and people are attracted to the external personality as a charisma. That is not what is needed. Transference. Who is able to allow Lord Krishna so he can be available in the transparent way without intent? Srila Prabhupada, he is the one transparent way. Transparency is very much wanted. In other words, character transparency. We should not have private life in order to hide our weaknesses. We should be exposed in public. Transparency is much more required to give the knowledge as it is. Transparency is required to show the development of a character like Navayogendras or Four Kumaras. Transference. They are the great souls. Even if we have some kind of functions, don't we ask for accountability? So, unless and until a person is transparent, who can put faith in him? Who can put faith in him? So, transparency is required. He should deliver Lord Shri Krishna as he is. No paper sword added. Okay? We should not give Krishna to the taste of somebody. Krishna should be delivered as he is. That's what Shri Prabhupada. So, a well advanced king knew this fact. So he immediately respected the nine yogendras. And for the benefit of all, he asked the questions. So, thank you very much. Anybody has any question?
Lord Ram is not avatar of Krishna?
Yes, he is. Avatar. Ramadi Murtishu Kalaniyame Natishtan Nana Avatar Akarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramakumari Govinda Madhi Purushottama. This is the glory of Lord Brahma, who can assert and who is in the line of Brahma Sampradaya. We accept that. And Krishna is the source of all incarnation, even including Rama. That is Kala Niyamena Tishtan, this is the portion of his expansion.
What color is Kurma, the turtle?
Kurma? What do you think? What's the color of the tortoise?
Green.
Brown, green, something like that. But it's mixed, but original colors are four. Any other discussion? Comments? Yeah.
I was reading in one of Srila Prabhupada's small books, Elevation to Krishna Consciousness. He was saying that you were saying, you were discussing in your class the other day how an elevated saintly person doesn't see anything as material. He sees everything as spiritual. Can we understand then that there's actually nothing that's dead matter? Prabhupada was saying in this book that actually nothing, there's no inferior energy, nothing inferior can come from the Supreme Lord. So do we understand then that that's just our conception, our consciousness? That we're thinking this is inferior matter for me to exploit it from the Lord, but actually it's all conscious.
That's correct. In the eyes of a realized source, everything is spiritual. Because our consciousness has deviated. Enter into a very envious principle of lording over, to lord over. One of the names of Lord Krishna or Vishnu is Anish. Anish. Ish means lord and master. One who does not have a lord and master over him is called Anish. Therefore, he is the Lord and Master, and everything is meant for his service. But as soon as we have little lording over mentality, that blockade of materialism comes. So, material, dead matter, means we are insensitive. We are insensitive about using it in Krishna's service. We want to use it in our service. So that much dead consciousness we have. So a person becomes totally dead in consciousness when he simply wants to have sense gratification and nothing else. His chetana, means consciousness, is stolen, destroyed. Bhogeshwarya prasattana taya aprata chetasana aprahata. Hata means destroyed. His consciousness is destroyed. But you may say, yes, he is living, but his consciousness is pertaining to eating, sleeping, bathing, and defending only. And that doesn't make him human being. There are levels of human existence that basically he is an animal. Then other animals like bees, beasts, and they are having all their societies too. So, and man is also having his society. So, he's called social animal. But then, the third thing they found out, which is a little more distinguishable, that he has a capacity to reason. So, he becomes a rational animal. Rationality with animal propensity is rational animal. Yesterday we were looking into one slideshow, and as there are three kind of quotients pertaining to human being. What we measure intelligence is measured in IQ, intelligence quotient. But that is also given to an elephant as well as porpoise, the dolphins. They are also very intelligent. They have IQ too. Is the man only going to be measured on the strength of his IQ? Then they found that something very distinguishable quotient that man has more is called emotional quotient. It's called EQ. IQ is there plus EQ is there. Emotional quotient. That, well, he is more of an emotional animal. Intelligent animal, emotional animal. Then they found something that because he is reasoning, he is trying to find out about himself also. So that kind of inquiry is only available in the human beings and not anywhere else. So they term it spiritual quotient. SQ. IQ, EQ and SQ. How much one has. So those who have no SQ and only EQs and IQ, they are animals. But the spiritual quotient you may find in the person, and then he is called a real human. You know, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, only in the human form of life, our spiritual inquiry of reality should begin. As long as it doesn't begin, we are animals. Animals. What do you think? What kind of animal are we? Are we animals? No. Actually, if you call somebody an animal, it's a very derogatory word. You think I'm an animal? I'll start, you know, fighting with you. But we have to understand that we may look like animals, but we are not. And to dispel that doubt, Lord Krishna took avatar in almost every species of life. He came as fish, tortoise, he came half man, half lion, right? But most of the avatars are in the human form because they are an advanced state. But nonetheless, the supreme effulgence was found in all the avatars. That's called avatars. If you grow your hair and everybody is attracted with the, you know, so-called afro, and they call you avatar? No. The word avatar is also used in a derogatory way. Yeah. Avatar means reincarnation, means it's also a kind of avatar, but not of Krishna's avatar. Because who comes in? If you have the same potency to be born again and again, is it not? But we are forced to be born. Krishna is not forced to be born. We are forced to be born and we also imitate him. So sometimes we become animals, sometimes we become fish, sometimes we become birds. Whatever kind of bhava we have, Krishna says, you are in my image, but you are an imposter. You are forced to take this kind of birth. But look, I have difference. I come on my own volition. I'm not forced to come, but I'm coming in order to make you understand. I have superior nature. You don't have superior. Your superior nature, self-effulgence, is completely covered. First, if you want to become, fully in recognition of me, you want to become self-effulgent, take my help. You will become. So, but we have to learn what he says, how he says, why he says. The nine yogendras will answer very beautifully all these questions that you have. Okay. Any other question? Yes.
Everybody said in India generally they think that actually Krishna is an avatar.
Because they are also avatars, so they will understand Krishna is an avatar. But it's not wrong. If Krishna is desiring to come through his Vishnu expansions, that's also right. After all, can anybody trace out who comes first, whether chicken or egg? That's the real trick. Who comes first, chicken or egg? Come on, tell me. Who is first born, chicken or egg?
Egg.
Tell everybody, raise their hands.
Egg.
Who says the egg came first? Raise their hand. Only two. Why? Nobody else? Yeah. Alright, who can tell chicken come first?
Did not came first.
That's very interesting. He did not raise his hand. It's true. That's interesting. Both came simultaneously. Right? You have to see, how do you see that both came first?
Because the chicken comes with the egg.
No. If chicken comes from the egg, then the egg comes first.
But then another chicken gave the egg.
The best way to see, in other things also, get a better example, not chicken and egg. But the better example is, the seed comes first or the tree comes first?
The seed, both.
Both. But then check the seed. There should be tree within the seed. Can you see the tree within the seed?
No.
Ah, Baba, there is seed and tree together within the seed. Yes? Otherwise, how it will grow in the tree? And the trees have fruits within their fruit. The seeds are there. So simultaneously, the tree is also existing and seed is also existing. And within the seed, if you say, the seed is also existing, then it's very minute tree is also existing. So both are existing simultaneously. It is not that they came, one came first and then the other came first. No. Krishna created everything simultaneously. So both came first. Who came first? Vishnu came first or Krishna came first?
Krishna.
You can say both. There's nothing wrong. But if you pick up one, like Vishnu is the source of Krishna, then you are called Ramanuja Sampradaya. And if you say Vishnu came from Krishna, you are Brahma Sampradaya. Mm-hmm. Both are right. Right? That's why both are friends. They are not enemies. And both agree. Yes. You are right, I am right. It's not that the third Mayavad Sampradaya comes and says, oh, you say both are right. We are good friends. I'm also a good friend. I say, you are Narayan, I'm Narayan. Namo Narayan, Namo Narayan. He wants to interject something third, which is, you are Narayan, I'm Narayan. No, no, no. Forget, you are not Narayan, neither I'm Narayan. So, he is an enemy. Mayavadis are Krishna Raparadi. They try to make it so short, you know, as if they are right. And many people, you know, the majority of the existence is in Mayavad. So easily gullible, because they are not intelligent. Their IQ, EQ and SQ is not there. Okay.
What is a cow classified as? IQ, EQ, SQ?
What is?
A cow.
Cow?
Yeah.
How do you want to classify cow?
I don't know.
No, I know only one thing. She is mother. Can mother be classified in anything?
No.
God is the mother. Even the cow is said to be having no intelligence, but Krishna's. And I love her. We don't require intelligence. Krishna says, I will give you intelligence. You don't need to have it of your own. All right. Thank you very much. All blessings for Prabhupada.